Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by our man in the Nuremberg land, Simon Maddox, and coming straight out of Bonn, stalwart producer Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey, producer Simon. Hey, Simon.
G'day.
Hello.
So last week, Simon, you were telling me about your new favourite TV show, which was Rosine's Restaurant, and you sent me some clips. I haven't fully unpacked myself from cringing myself into a ball after watching it. It was really just the most painful thing. Seeing there was, I think one of them starts off and he asks the question, like, how much in debt are you? And I think like 70,000 euros in debt to the bank or something for this restaurant. And it was just like, you could see him just going, I already can see that this is not going to go well for you. And they made, I think it was chili con carne out of Maggi packets.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Oh, brutal. The whole thing was brutal. And it was just, even the way they said what was on the menu was, and the dessert was pancakes. I was blown away. That made no sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. The desserts always seem to be a point where these kitchens just panic. So, like, we'll just do waffles. And it's like, why are you doing waffles? Who wants waffles? Pancakes is another one. Some people are just like, oh, we'll just do like Rotegrutzen and ice cream. And it's like, that's what you do at your like 4-year-old's birthday party. Just be like, oh, we'll just warm up some fruit and put some ice cream. Mm. If you're charging people money to go to a restaurant, that's not what they want at
all. You've got to have at least some mascarpone. That's like a base standard. Like, even that would be expectations.
There has to have been some sort of cooking, I think. And if it's just, oh, I'll just take this thing from the freezer and put it on your plate and serve it to you. Guten. Yeah. Like, people are going to... And if you watch enough of that show, you'll realize that the general public, especially the German general public, if they're giving a free meal and they're asked to critique it, they are going to give it twos and threes all day long.
That's so brutal.
They are tough. They are
they're
tough
not messing,
raters.
Man. They're right. Not messing.
There's no sympathy.
And yeah, okay, German food isn't setting the world on fire with its spicy flavors, but like when it's done well, it's very, very delicious. Mm. Like the dessert thing, it does just boggle my brain because I'm like, why don't you just make strudel? And it's the most fucking obvious thing in front of you. Just make this thing. It's just dead easy to make and it's really nice. There you go. Bang. Situation solved. But
there's one restaurant I saw recently where they described themselves as a bistro. So it's like, it's supposed to be a little bit nice. And they did ice cream as a dessert with rainbow sprinkles. Mm. And everyone was just like, the sprinkles really like lowered the tone of the dish.
Oh no. Yeah. You would have thought that would increase the impressed faces, but no, I guess not.
Well, at a children's party, yes. Adults, yeah. No.
No, I know. I mean, it's not winning a Michelin star, is it? Really? I mean, I love them. And putting them inside some kind of sponge cake is still delightful. I don't care what anyone says, but... as we were saying before we started recording, I am quite basic. So, gentlemen, it's that point in the year when my decision to have my office on the top floor of the house has resulted in my workspace essentially becoming a human rotisserie that's been slow cooking the shit out of me over the weekend. Stick a fork in me, lads. I'm axing. Okay. To make matters worse, producer Simon is living it up in his basement, all cool air and no swampy crotch. Must be nice. Anyway, this is all a roundabout way of saying it's been bloody warm over the last week. The hottest week of the year, surely. Which leads me to the first question of the episode, really. Seriously. How many times has a German offered you hot food in this rather crazy Dreisig grad plus weather which we're having? Surely someone tried to give you some soup or a knödel, perhaps a steaming pile of Spätzle. Must have happened.
No, I'm in charge of the kitchen here, so nobody has forced anything hot on me. It's been fine. Hot for sure, but it's been okay.
Yeah.
But I think we can just be thankful to not be French because in France they are frying.
Is it worse in France?
Much worse.
I haven't been paying attention. I've been basically bemoaning my current situation.
No, I think Paris is on a massive heat warning, 40 plus degrees.
Bloody hell. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Producer Simon does look like he's having a nice time sitting in his basement dwelling.
Yeah, well, it's pretty warm. It's uncomfortably warm down here, but I don't think it's as hot as you guys. Like, I don't have a fan on. But it's going to be still, when I go to bed, it's still going to be like 29 or something. Mm. So Yeah, but I've actually had the house shuttered for the last 2 days, and it's actually doing a pretty good job of keeping it cool.
That's the way to do it, man. Just shut it down. I listened to a thing the other day that was saying that British people just need to adapt in the way that Central Europeans have adapted to the hot weather, the Mediterranean Europeans have adapted to the weather, like getting up earlier or sort of basically living in the shade for half the day. That's the way that we need to do it. I can heartily accept that as the reality that we need to move into. Anyway, luckily for me, I have managed to avoid most of the German weirdness that occurs with the warm weather, except, of course, for our local Dorfes, or as we like to call it here, Gauch. I welcomed that German peculiarity with open arms, arms primed for beer holding no less. Although it was much smaller than previous years, which left a rather social club fundraiser vibe to proceedings, there was still a lot of loveliness to be had and some carousels to ride on for the kids. So one thing that did seem rather excessive was the food, not the prices, but for some reason, the lunatics decided I need several helpings of tzatziki on my Feuerwehrwurst. I love saying Feuerwehrwurst. I don't think I say it correctly, but I do enjoy saying it.
Feuerwehrwurst.
Nah, Feuerwehrwurst. I can only say it with that odd E sound because it's the only way I can ring it off. Otherwise, I pause. And it upsets lots of Germans. Feuerwehrwurst. Granted, as the name implies, the Feuerwehrwurst can still be a little bit spicy. But really, it tasted more like a cream donut than a sausage sandwich. So yeah, I showed this picture to the WhatsApp group. And Simon, you were incandescent with rage at the sight of my Wurstsemmel and cream.
I was furious. I'm not going to lie. You showed me the picture. I mean, I assumed it was mayo at first, and I was like, tell me it's not mayo. And then you told me it wasn't mayo, but I didn't believe you. And now I find out that it was tzatziki. But I think that is better, but only marginally.
I just didn't get it. It didn't make no sense to me.
It was also an aggressive amount of tzatziki, as if by asking for it, they were like, here's your fucking tzatziki. Take it.
It wasn't even that. I think it was preemptive tzatziki use. Because the Feuerwehrwurst was a little bit spicy. So they were like, oh, we better put that on and like counteract the slight spiciness. There's a bit of flavor in this first. We better protect ourselves.
Need yogurty cucumber. It's the only thing that will save us.
I mean, the Gauch itself was fantastic. I mean, those things, I always find, like Oktoberfest is Oktoberfest. It's one of a kind. But like the small door fests, and you've had a few in Nuremberg over the last few weeks, our various collective WhatsApps that we're in with the people of Nuremberg have been full of lovely pictures of kind of beer fests and so forth. I love that part of the year. It's a really, really nice kind of vibe.
It is nice, but then there's also that point at about 10 o'clock and you hear fireworks and you're like, oh, there's a kiava near me, which one of the villagers having a kiava. We accidentally went to Wendelstein, which is not far from us to the south of Nuremberg. And there's a little Asia shop that I go to because to drive to the city is a hassle. So I go to Wendelstein for it. And they were like, oh, kiava's on. And our lovely little Asian shop had a barbecue going and karaoke, which was really nice.
That's mad.
I didn't participate, but the staff in the shop did. And fair play to the girl singing. She did a pretty good job.
I love that, man. I love it. There's still like I think people forget that that's the reality. I really do. I think especially when you have those village events, I think it happens at Fasching as well, where every like village or small towns, anytime they have a celebration, everybody gets involved usually. And it's quite nice. I do like
it. But one thing that did happen at the Kiev and Wendelstein was how much is your local ice cream shop at the moment for a scoop?
Ooh, for just a single scoop?
Uh-huh.
I think, I usually get a double scoop and a cone. I think it's like 140 or something.
140 a scoop?
I think something like that. Might be.
I don't know if it was just a Kiava price, because the price was written in pen, but €2 a scoop we paid in Wendelstein.
Ouch.
It was very hot and we did need the ice cream.
It was a good ice cream?
It was pretty good. I had a craving for mint. And the wife and I had been on a nice walk to earn our ice cream. And then I got to the shop and there was no mint. So I had mocha, which was fine, but not as refreshing as mint would have been.
Oh, I had a good friend of mine recommended, I think it's like American cheesecake or New York cheesecake flavored. And It was really good. I think because it's like slightly tart as well, slightly lemony. It was a solid flavor option. But
you're a proper product of born in the USA, like born anything Yankee Doodle. You're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that shit. You're right.
Got sprinkles, way.
I'm only boycotting them in so much as I will eat all of their food. At every
if it's German-made versions of it, you're right.
Yeah. It's good. Going back to the Gauchy fun that I had, the Gauch, I think I talked about last year, Gauch means swing. That's what I learned. Okay. I don't know why. But you sort of got into it, that the beer tent was rocking, because it always is. And there was just a massive big bit of car park space that was just like empty, where clearly they just couldn't get a ride to fill in. And it did give me the vibe of like crappy village fate. Kind of evocative moment of my past, but luckily it was a lot nicer than that. It was a proper mini Oktoberfest. It was lovely, really, really nice.
But one thing I think they miss that an English village festival would have is some of the little silliness, like a coconut shy.
Yeah, no.
Why is there no coconut shy? Why is there not an opportunity to throw something at something? In my village, we had hay bale tossing, welly throwing. Even cow pat
whack-a-mole
happened in one of my villages. Whack-a-mole. Mm-hmm. Hit the rat out the drain pipe. Was it called whack-a-rat?
Whack-a-rat, yeah.
Whack-a-rat. There was a place that did fishing for ducks. Mm-hmm. A classic. But yeah, it seems like there's an opportunity for like pure capitalism to like rob people of €2 at a time that they're not taking here. The amount of times I went home with a coconut growing up, and that just doesn't happen for these poor German kids.
Where are the coconuts for the German kids? What you did get were really disgruntled looking people managing stores for shooting targets. And I think there's something where you could throw something, knock something down, like cans or something. But they didn't look like, none of the prizes looked good. I remember being a kid, and I know I'm at this age in my life where everything in the past looked amazing. And then I start voting Tory, and then I might as well just die. No, but there was like a sense that the things that you won, like there was used to be a big fair in Newcastle, there still is, called the Hotbings. And you used to win like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cuddly toys and stuff. Mm-hmm. And even up until about 5 years ago, there'd be like a Pikachu. Now it's just like random tot. It's like cuddly toys that aren't even connected to a major motion picture. What's all this about?
Where's the capitalism?
Where is the pure capitalism? I miss it. Yeah. Told you it wouldn't go where you thought it would.
We saw some quite nice like AI generated type cuddly toys, like a very cute pineapple, things like that. I think it's all right,
fair enough.
No,
I mean, if that's your bag, who am I to complain? But yeah, it's on for another week. I'm guessing on Friday there'll be an alarming amount of fireworks, because there was when it started on Friday last week. I was just sitting quietly, and then they woke up my son for an hour, who just didn't know what was going on. It's 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock at night, and there's fireworks going off. So
poor little lad.
Yeah, he wasn't having a great time of it. But I imagine that'll be the ending chorus. So
I think either our local one in Reichelsdorf either had an error or a very tiny budget, because there was like two fireworks at 10 o'clock and then it was done.
Bang, bang.
But we've also got in our village, there are two rival organisers.
Oh, heat.
So you've got, yeah, there seems to be people who only go to one and not the other. We've been to neither, so we're staying well out of it.
Neutral. You should go to both, see what happens.
Like, I'm already a foreigner in this village. The last thing I need is to be playing both sides.
you could bring the Montagues and the Capulets together finally after war.
I'll be hung as a spy.
Yeah, exactly. That's more than likely what will happen. The lovely weather over the weekend also coincided with Christopher Street Day celebrations and events across Germany. However, despite the distinctly German flavour of proceedings, Bundestag President Julia Klöckner, in a break from previous presidents, declined to fly a rainbow flag from the Reichstag building. Her reason for not allowing the flag to fly was her belief in the neutrality of the Bundestag administration, which must also reflect the entire spectrum of the German Bundestag, she said. The decision was met with outcry from pride organisers and members of the Greens and Die Linke, who protested in the Bundestag by wearing rainbow colours. Klöckner said that in order to raise the rainbow flag, there must be a parliamentary connection, such as May 17th, when Die Charta für Vielfalt was signed. The rainbow flag was raised for pride on the Reichstag for the first time in 2022 in Berlin. The then president of the Bundestag, Birbel Bass, from the SPD, announced the flag raising, stating that it would once again significantly increase the visibility of the commitment to diversity. So, Simon, this has obviously been in the papers over the weekend. There's been a lot of discussion about it. What are your thoughts? Do you think that Julia Klöckner was right? Do you think it really isn't such a big deal? What's on your mind?
The first thing I saw about it was the image of the Grüne politicians in the Bundestag wearing a variety of colours to make their own pride flag, which I thought was a really wonderful way of protesting this decision. I mean, the logic that they lay out for it, it's possible to defend it from the government's position. But I like the minor protest done in the Bundestag by the Greens. I thought that was a very nice way of dealing with it. And for those dealing with newspaper coverage of it, a very good visual. And I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, it really was. I think you're right. There is a way you could argue that it's not such a big deal, you know, and actually that neutrality is an important thing to maintain. And you know, well, they did fly the flag on May 17th, but it just feels like this moment in time isn't the time to kind of be neutral. Like, this isn't the time to be Switzerland. Like, this isn't the moment in time where you go, oh, well, actually, you know, both sides have a good point. Like, maybe now is the time to go, like, fuck those other guys.
Yeah. And it's being flown everywhere. It's everywhere. And Christmas Tree Day Parade, it is part of the Pride celebration. So it would be a very worthwhile thing to just go with the flow on it. But yeah, it seems like a weird choice. But Julia Klöckner has made a couple of those recently. So it's not the first time she's come up on the podcast.
No. She's made some pretty interesting decisions, to say the least. I guess the thought I had was, she's saying it's a political statement. And I was like, to exist is a political statement. I suppose it is, I guess. Like, it is just acknowledging the existence of the LGBTQ community, right? That's all the flag's about.
I think until there is a party that is just called the LGBTQ party, I don't get it. It's not political.
Saying it's a political statement is a bit of a stretch, I felt. I did feel also the claims to neutrality were a little bit rich, given that when Klöckner went on to say, when she was interviewed, I forget who she was interviewed, but it was at Zeit or something like this, Tagesschau, she was interviewed, and she said she condemned attacks on gay and lesbian people or on events like the Christopher Street Day. And then she went on to say, incidentally, the most persecuted group worldwide is Christians. Then I would have to raise the Vatican flag one day a year, for example. And I was like, oh my God, you sound like someone out of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
It sounds
the
mask mental.
Has slipped from her.
It really has. That is absolutely fucking nuts. Like, and I think more people should be pointing out how mental that is. Like, what a mental thing to say.
Did she seriously say that the most persecuted group worldwide is Christians?
Yeah, it's a quote. It was in the Zeit article that I was reading for the show.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's a direct quote. It's absolutely batshit insane.
Especially coming from Germany, where you have like bishops living the life of Riley, scandalously spending hundreds of thousands of euros. Mm-hmm. It's a really...
driving Porsches.
It's a really shocking take for someone in her position. To hold those beliefs privately, fair enough, you can be crazy. There's nothing illegal about that. But voicing them in her position, she's the Bundestag president. Mm. It's alarming beyond belief to voice any position on this at all. If you're supposed to be a neutral political organization representative and be like, oh, but my religious beliefs are being attacked on a daily basis and we're the victims, especially with what's going on in the world today, it is a wild choice to voice that out loud to a journalist. It's bizarre.
She's a Bundestag president. Like, it's not like she's like some namby-pamby, like, wank position that no one really cares about. She's like got actual power. And then she's making this decision to basically say, like, I'm not acknowledging the existence of this group of people, this group of Germans who exist in my nation. And then she made this whole song and dance about how they should just accept the German flag as the flag of, that represents them. And I'm just like, you sound like you're a million years old. You sound like, if I was, I'm 42 and I think you sound ancient. Like, that's problematic. Like, you don't sound like of any, like not of this generation or the generation of my parents. Potentially you sound like the generation of my grandparents. And I don't think that's really, it's really on at this at this point in the juncture.
LGBTQ rights, so it's political, and I'm being victimized for my belief in the man in the sky.
Yeah.
Wild.
Absolutely mad. As some of you listeners may already know, the Women's European Championships have kicked off on Wednesday. And if you listen to this on release day, England will be lining up for their first group game against France. Among the England players is the podcast's favourite player. That isn't Harry Kane, of course. That's Bayern Munich's own Georgia Stanway. Apparently, Stanway has been preparing for the tournament by tattooing her teammates at Bayern Munich. Teammate Julia Zigotti-Ulmer said that before Stanway left, she tattooed a stick figure on Zigotti's ankle. Simon, shall we ask Georgia Stanway if she'll tattoo you? That's surely the way to get her on the podcast. She can put a tattoo like on the middle of your forehead. What do you reckon, stick man?
What tattoo would you like me to get on my forehead from Georgia Stanway?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was thinking I'd like a muddy imprint of a football.
Judging by the quality of the tattoo that she's actually done, I don't think she can do a football. Like, for a debut at tattooing, it's all right. The lines are lines. They're not the best pulled lines.
Yeah, okay.
But I wouldn't describe it as a professional grade tattoo just yet. But yeah, maybe the rest of the squad will let her practice, and maybe in a year or two she'll be able to tattoo something on my forehead that wouldn't ruin my life.
Yeah, maybe it's too much to ask. It's a good stick, man. It's good lines. That's a solid stick, man. I think the hands are impressive.
The hands are bigger than the feet, though.
Yeah, the feet maybe need a little bit of work, but maybe there's a little bit of pressure, time pressure on there. Who knows?
But it's shrugging. It doesn't give a shit. It's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty chill.
Bad tattoos are great tattoos as well.
Yeah, you get enough of those, you've got a fantastic set, maybe.
It's all about the memories. That's what they're there for.
I mean, in fairness, I'll say this much. If we could get Georgia Stanway on the podcast, I'd let her give me a fucking tattoo. Honest to God, she could tattoo me. Not my forehead, though. Like, I'm not having any of that madness. But yeah, she could tattoo my arm or something. I'd definitely take that as some kind of recompense for having bothered her too much.
You get a Bayern Munich logo?
Don't like that. But given the fact that her tattooing skills might be not up to the standards of a full Bayern Munich badge, maybe I'd get away with it.
Döner Spieß, she could do one of those.
Oh yeah, yes, I take that. I take that 100%. The full recipe for a durum, that'll do me. Thank you very much. The person we haven't asked, who is probably the most pertinent person to speak to about the England national team, or at least the Euro 2025 tournament, is our producer Simon, because as he's not shy of telling, he's got tickets to the final. So Simon, are you looking forward to the kickoff of the Women's European Championships?
Yep, tomorrow night as we record this. Unusual day of the week to be starting, a Wednesday, but there you go.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Finland and, was it Norway or someone? Someone like that. It's two Nordic countries, I believe.
Yeah, I'm kind of probably not going to engage with it too much until we hit Saturday. I've been sort of watching a bit of the build-up. I've watched the highlights of some of the friendlies. I think the friendly against Jamaica at the weekend for England. But I'm just quietly excited, quietly optimistic. I know England's got a pretty tough group coming up.
Group of death.
Yeah, I mean, they've got France, Netherlands, but they've got Wales as well. I'm really excited to see what happens with Wales. But,
well, I think they play Wales last too, don't they? I think it's France first, then the Netherlands. And so, yeah, I mean, it's Wales could be a slippery banana at the end. But I was listening to an informed person on TikTok earlier this evening, and they were saying that actually England might do better to come second to avoid Spain in the semi-final, the quarterfinals. So Spain is ranked number one, and if England actually wants to get to the final, they're going to have to somehow avoid playing Spain in the semi-final.
Nah, we'll just play who we play. I mean, I'm of the opinion at this point that you just play what's in front of you. You can't just sort of play it like half gear. You've just got to play what's in front of you, try and win, and see what happens next. None of this like, oh, but if we come second, then we'll get this or that or the other. But that's maybe that's me. Maybe I'm just a more honest fan.
No, I'm I agree with you. I'm not the kind of person who likes to overthink things, and I just think you play strong, hard, and honestly. And if you deserve to go, if you're the best team, you'll get there, basically.
Yeah, I was reading though that especially the England women's team was having to pay for their families to stay in Switzerland because the price of accommodation was absolutely insane.
Yeah, well, the advantage with Switzerland is it's so tiny, and in fact, so I'm going down. I'm going to be there for a couple of nights. And we've got a Airbnb or a hostel in Germany, actually. So we'll be popping across the border, probably just by train to when we go to the final on the Sunday, that is the 27th of July, I think, something like that. But yeah, we initially looked at accommodation in Basel, and there's just nothing. So it just makes sense to stay in Germany and pop across the border.
I suppose it's the benefit of being in Germany, isn't it? That you can take the advantage of the distance.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's like a 20-minute train journey. And the good thing that the Swiss are doing, though I don't know to what extent will it apply to me, but the good thing they're doing is making all train travel free. If you've got a football ticket, like a ticket to one of the games, you can travel anywhere in Switzerland with that ticket. I think on the match day only, possibly. I'd have to check that. But yeah, quite good, I think.
Oh, that's pretty sweet, that. I mean, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's such a good idea. I mean, I suppose they're kind of all pros at hosting tournaments at this point. There'll be all those nifty little additions. I wonder how it'll go with regards to kind of infrastructure and that. I imagine it won't be as bad as some of the reports that were coming out about Germany over the European Championships last year. But still, I'll be waiting for kickoff on Saturday with the England game and hoping we start things off with a win.
They've apparently sold more tickets than were sold last time. So last time, obviously, England won, and they've actually sold already more tickets. And I think that's probably more to do with the proximity, the close proximity of Switzerland to so many of the competing nations, rather than the fact that maybe there'll be a lot of local turnout. I think there will be a lot of local turnout, but it just means it's easy for the French, the Italians, the Germans to just pop across the border and enjoy games.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a pretty good tournament. So yeah, I think it should be right. Watch the documentary about some of the new German stars for the tournament in advance. Julia Gwin, Nusken, and Julie Brandt were all featured in this documentary. It was really interesting to see how utterly grounded all these superstars are. And also then after Googling what one of the Nusken plays at Chelsea and finding out that the average salary for the women Chelsea players and the men's is the men get paid 27 times more than the women do at Chelsea.
And Chelsea, of course, won the triple this year, the three domestic titles that were up for.
And they got rewarded by Chelsea Football Club selling them to their parent company to avoid PSR. It's also what Aston Villa's been talking about.
Oh, Aston Villa's doing it, I believe.
Oh, it's absolutely disgusting, man. Honestly, I just think it's just diabolical. It's like they're just a commodity. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not on.
It's like Sam Kerr, the Australian forward who's the highest paid in the women's version of the Premier League. $300,000 a year is her salary, which is the same as the highest weekly salary in Chelsea men's, $300,000 a week. The disparity is deeply alarming.
And Chelsea especially, Chelsea's infrastructure, just like they've got thousands of players. And they just keep buying players. I saw they bought like three new other players the other day. And I said, wait, didn't you just buy three players? No. What's going on here, man? It's absolutely insane. I don't know. I'm excited for the tournament. I think it will be a big one. And I think, again, it'll be a bit more landmark. I do hope England can repeat the efforts of the previous tournament, but maybe it might be a bit of a stretch. But I don't know. Looking at the other aspects of the women's game, it just seemed a little bit bewildering.
It feels like a nice start. Like, I've been watching some Wimbledon, the women's Euros about to kick off as well. I'm enjoying it so far, the start of the summer of sport without any major like men's tournaments. It's nice.
Yeah. I've been making a concerted effort to ignore the Club World Cup with like a furious passion.
Yeah.
I know absolutely nothing about it. I haven't watched any of it. Don't care about it. Is a massive waste of time. In fact, I'm going to redouble my efforts by watching probably more women's football just to stick two things up to FIFA and their stupid ideas.
That's the spirit.
That's the spirit, yeah. Turn everything into an antagonism. It's so hot now. Everything's just like binary. I hate everybody. I hate everything. I'm sweating. I can't breathe. Stop podcasting. That brings us to the end of the show. It's hotter than the surface of the sun in here, and I don't know why we're still doing this. It's insane. But anyway, if you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. The podcast has accounts on Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to follow us on your social media channel of choice. Just search for Decades From Home to find us. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, reach out via any of our social media channels or get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40percentgerman.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Tschüss!
Ciao!
It's very hard to get it all sort of... I'm really, really aiming. But those are the sounds that are just so difficult for me to produce.
Just make the V and F.
No, because I can't do the linguistic leaps.
Can you say fuck? You don't say vac.
No, of course, right? But you're making... It's not a V sound. It's a feel sound.
Well, it's more like an F than a V, isn't it?
Feel felt. And what the difficulty I have is because of my accent. Thanks for bringing it up. Which tends to reduce certain sounds. It's really nice of you to point it out.
Such a racist, Simon.
Yeah, I can't believe you're so...
Hey, fuck, man. So, why am I getting
massive,
dubbed on?
He's so massive racist.
Jesus. Okay. Now, I mean, he's also a classist because, I mean, come from the Northeast, being quite a working class place. He's clearly just showing his colours. Tear, single tear down the side of my face.
I mean, and next time I work for the church, so it's also anti-religious.
Yeah,
so
Jesus,
you're being persecuted,
Jesus,
for your religion as well.
Why do you hate the Anglicans? Why do you hate Anglican Geordie working class kids?
No.
What is it? Anyway.
I mean, it's massively, it's very sexist as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit sexist.
Bloody man.
Doing something like this.
Yeah, come on, enough of this. The rainbow flag was... sorry. The rainbow... Jesus.